On March 10, 1876, Alexander Graham Bell was the first man to talk with electricity. The first words ever spoken on the telephone were, "Mr. Watson, come here." It's interesting, because bringing people together who are apart is the entire purpose of the phone. We can connect with people from anywhere in the world, no matter how far away they are. But sometimes, a phone can bring someone a little too close for comfort. I'm Kevin Duncan, and this is What You Did. Tonight's story comes to us from Southern Wade. Back in the 90s, prank calls were all the rage. Before caller ID and cell phones ruined the fun, a group of young boys could have a blast weaponizing a landline for humor. From calling adult stores and asking if ridiculous made-up products were in stock, to filing verbal complaints to customer service lines, to paging people at the mall, the possibilities with a piece of plastic and a few numbers were limitless. I always felt invincible making a prank call. After all, no one could get me through that. It was completely disconnected from anyone you spoke to. Right? By the time I would realize how wrong I was, it was almost too late. I was in ninth grade, on the cusp of being a fully fledged high schooler, but still young and immature. We had a sleepover on a Sunday night. Back then, wrestling pay-per-views were on Sunday nights, so on the rare occasion that one landed on the eve of a Monday off, my friends and I always took advantage of it. Those nights usually went the same way. We'd practice all of our wrestling moves on the trampoline and try not to die. Then we'd eat pizza and watch the show. After that, it was time to sneak some adult beverages, brainstorm some prank calls, and unleash our audio humor on the world. First, we called Home Depot, complaining about how my little brother got stuck in the washing machine because he wanted to go swimming. We kept them on the phone for nearly 20 minutes, troubleshooting how to stop the washer and get it open to rescue my brother. The poor guy was probably traumatized, but man, was it funny. My favorite moment in the exchange was when my friend asked the guy if he thought the spin cycle would help cure the boy of the dirty mind his mother always accused him of having. Classic. Next up, we got a little bored with just talking, so we got bold with our next prank. We called our local pizza joint and ordered 5 large pizzas with cheesy crust. It was a thing back then. Just trust me. We ordered the pizzas and told the guy taking our order that I had short-term memory loss and that I might be confused when the pizzas get there, but to please just be pushy and I will pay for them. He didn't seem sold at first. But then, thanks to some stellar acting on my part, getting completely confused mid-call sealed the deal. He assured us he would do his best to make sure I get my pizza with as little confusion as possible. Then, without thinking, I gave my next-door neighbor's address. In hindsight, I'm not entirely sure why I did this. I guess I wanted the adrenaline rush of getting to experience the fallout of our epic ruse in real time. But watching from the window wasn't good enough. I needed to hear the exchange between the delivery guy and my clueless neighbor. I had to see who would come out on top. The delivery guy trying to convince my neighbor he did order the pizza, or my stubborn neighbor standing his ground. This was going to be a debate for the ages, and I wanted a front row seat. We waited about 15 minutes and then headed outside. We hid in the bushes halfway between my house and my neighbor's. I was fairly sure it was dark enough to keep us hidden. Never underestimate the Teflon naivete of a ninth grader. What could possibly go wrong? Finally, we saw headlights bleed through the leaves and land on our neighbor's driveway. A young guy, probably about 19, got out of the car and struggled to carry 5 large pizzas with cheesy crust to the door. The exchange was hilarious. The pizza guy kept talking to my neighbor like he was a mental patient, and these were, in fact, his pizzas. He was stern and pushy. My neighbor was getting more and more heated by the minute. Eventually, he started yelling at the delivery guy to get off of his property. The man kept his calm, at first insisting that my neighbor was wrong because he did in fact order these pizzas and he is just confused. My neighbor shoved him. That was the last straw. The pizza guy threw the boxes in his house angrily and stormed down the driveway. My neighbor was shouting at him that there was pizza all over his rugs and that he was going to have him fired. He marched down the driveway, absolutely seething with rage, but he stopped right in front of my neighbor's BMW. My neighbor was the kind of guy who washed his car multiple times a week, sometimes multiple times a day. The pizza guy lifted his leg and railed his foot into the side of the car 3 times, making absolutely sure there was a noticeable dent. I was horrified. What had we done? One of my best friends burst out laughing. The pizza guy turned to us. He saw us. He had to know what we did immediately because he sprinted at us like a linebacker. We scattered into the woods like cockroaches fleeing from the light. I remember hearing my friends scream, "Run! Run!" their voices trailing off in multiple directions. I heard heavy feet trailing behind me. I hoped it was one of my friends following me, but I couldn't take the chance. You always see chases in movies and think to yourself, why not just hide? Let me tell you, when you're actually in that frantic state of mind, you're much too scared to stop, much less hide. I remember branches slapping me in the face and arms. I couldn't feel the pain, but I knew it would hurt later. I just hoped that would be the extent of it. I seemed to be losing him as the sound of his sneaker seemed more and more distant. I dared to turn my head back to see, and just as I did, my foot hooked onto a branch, and the next thing I knew, I was eating a face full of dirt. I coughed as I tried to catch the breath that had been knocked out of me. My ankle was throbbing. No way I could run on it now. I sat up, and just as I did, I saw the pizza guy walking out of the woods. He was no longer running. He knew he had me. To this day, I have never seen someone with so much anger in their eyes. It's a horrifying experience that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. But what he said next, I don't think I'll ever forget. He was muttering something, quietly, to himself. I couldn't hear it at first, but once he was close enough for me to nearly feel his breath, I heard it. We just figured out Blue's Clues. We just figured out Blue's Clues. We just figured out Blue's Clues. Because I'm really smart. I don't even know what he meant by that, but fortunately, I would never have to find out. Before he got close enough to put his hands on me, the loudest crack I'd ever heard in my life echoed through the woods. It made both of us jump. At first, I thought it was a gunshot. I even checked myself for wounds. Then, from seemingly out of nowhere, my neighbor walked out carrying a baseball bat. He gripped it with two hands and smashed it into a tree, recreating the same sound from a moment before. Then he pointed it at the pizza guy and said, "Leave." The pizza guy tried to recruit him into kicking my ass, or worse, by pointing out what we had done. My neighbor tightened his grip on the bat, took a step closer to the pizza guy, and said again, "Leave." The pizza guy took another look at me, weighing whether or not it was worth it, and then coming to his senses, he stormed off into the woods. My neighbor helped me up and walked me out of the woods with one arm around his neck, so as to avoid pressure on my sprained ankle. Just as we emerged from the woods, we were blinded by headlights. Oh my God, I thought to myself. My parents are home. I'm done for. My neighbor casually chucked the bat behind him into the darkness, took my arm off his shoulder, and walked into his house leaving me to face my parents alone. I didn't know what to make of this. When my parents asked me what happened, I told them me and my friends were just playing a game in the woods and I fell down a hill and sprained my ankle. I hoped my neighbor wouldn't contradict my story later on. I saw him watching me from the window, exchanging a glance as if saying, "I'm not going to say anything, but you owe me." Now you may think the story ends here, but it does not. The next morning, I found out that my neighbor had passed away in his sleep around 5 p.m. during a nap after dinner, meaning he couldn't have been in the woods when we were. To the crazy pizza guy, apologies. I was a stupid kid, and it was a stupid joke. I hope you got the help you needed before you really hurt someone. And to my neighbor, whoever or whatever you are, I'm happy you did what you did. If you have a story you'd like me to feature with someone who did something that changed what could have been a dark fate, please email me at kevinmduncan@gmail.com. Until then, I'm Kevin Duncan, reminding you to keep your eyes open for yourself and others, because you never know what's around the bend.